This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, good morning. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and this is Enterprise. And on the show today is Sean Dee, the Chief Marketing Officer and Executive Vice President of Outrigger Enterprises Group. Outrigger is a group of hotels and resorts that started in Waikiki, Hawaii, and has now set up shop in a number of locations across the region. Now, there's a lot of interesting backstory to Outrigger. It started in 1947 by Roy and Estelle Kelly, or the Kelly family. The couple came to Hawaii and spent 18 years there before finally opening their first hotel, and they worked tirelessly to make sure everything ran like clockwork while also maintaining and always maintaining that signature family feel that Outrigger has. So there's that. And then in 2016, the group was bought over by KSL Capital Partners while also still always emphasizing on the family values that Outrigger has. So I wanted to know more about Outrigger and its history and how it's doing and how it's performing in this newly disrupted landscape, you know, with like alternative accommodation and all that stuff. And I managed to do just that when I caught up with Sean Dee during the Web in Travel conference in Singapore. How would you describe Outrigger as a brand? Like, you know, like what's its brand identity?
The Outrigger brand is the outcome of 70 years of hospitality. We started the company in 1947 in Honolulu, Hawaii. About 50 years ago, this year, we actually opened our first Outrigger property specifically right in Waikiki Beach. It was the site of the original Outrigger Canoe Club, hence our name Outrigger. So the brand is 50 years old. It's developed significantly over time. Over the last 20 plus years, we've developed a cultures and values-led hospitality model that really defines Outrigger. And we call it in Hawaiian, Kianova'a, or the Outrigger Way. And we're very proud to have translated that program now into 8 different countries and 8 different languages around the world. So it's a very host culture led model. Our aspiration is to be the premier beachfront resort brand in the world. We obviously were started in Waikiki. We're now in markets like Fiji, Thailand, Mauritius, the Maldives, Guam, some of the great tropical destinations in the world. And we like to say we're the only brand where local culture meets world-class hospitality.
Okay, since you touched on that, 37 properties in 5 countries. Like, how do you maintain consistency of the brand? Because, you know, different people, different cultures, and not everyone can relate to that, you know, the Hawaii way, right? So how do you cater to those different demographics?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think that's one of the challenges. We do not want to be cookie cutter, though. We do not want to take Hawaii values to Guam or to Thailand or to Mauritius. There's great values in these local cultures. So what we try to do is create a framework that's really built on a simple premise, and it's the connection between the hosts that work at our properties, the guests that come visit us, and the sense of place, the strong sense of place in all the locations that we have properties. So the intersection of those three and the interpretation in the local language. So as an example, in Fiji, we call it the bula spirit. So we don't take aloha, which is the Hawaiian word for welcome, to Fiji. We allow the Fijian culture to celebrate what's great about Fiji. And again, we do that in Thailand. Even in Guam, the Chamorro culture, the local culture, is now celebrated at our properties when for many years it had been subjugated. So we're proud of our commitment to local culture. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution, but we create a framework for our hosts to engage with the guests in their special place.
Then and now. So how has Outrigger grown since 1947? So what's the story there?
The original Outrigger was actually the Islander Hotel. The second hotel was the Edgewater. And then over time, 1966, 67 was the first Outrigger property, which is right in the heart of Waikiki, and it's still there today. This year we celebrated our 50th anniversary of Outrigger. We expanded then into Asia Pacific about 20 years ago. We've been in markets like Palau, Marshall Islands, Guam, even down into Tahiti. And then over the last 6 years, we've made a real strategic intent to grow into Asia. Thailand specifically, both Laguna Phuket, as well as a beautiful property we have in Koh Samui. We opened a property in Mauritius, which is our first property in the Indian Ocean. We expanded to the Maldives in 2015, and we have 2 properties in Fiji, one on the main island on the Coral Coast, and then a spectacular property that also celebrated its 50th anniversary last year, called Castaway Island, a very special place in the Mamanuka chain of islands off the main coast of Fiji.
and how has it changed over the years? Like you know, so it's been what, like 50 years, so 5 decades, you know, like how has the brand and the hotel evolved from year to year and from decade to decade?
So it was founded by two people, Roy and Estelle Kelly, and they are really sort of the pioneers of modern tourism, modern hospitality in Hawaii. And they really cater to military, family, more of a value focus was their initial orientation. Over the years, as we've expanded to Asia Pacific and really got a little bit more brand focused, we realized we had a nice little opportunity here to continue with the family values that were established by our pioneering grandparents, for lack of a better term, but to have a little bit more of a focus on the upper upscale, even into the luxury marketplace with Outrigger Resorts. So over the last 5-6 years, that's really been our focus, upgrading our properties in Hawaii on the beachfront and establishing new properties in Asia that present a new Outrigger Resort brand to the rest of the world.
Let's talk about trends. Traveler trends, they change every, what, like once every 10 to 15 years? So how does Outrigger keep up with the changing needs of travelers across all these different generations?
Well, the good news in the hospitality business is we get feedback every day. So we hear constantly from our guests. We hear at the front desks. We hear, obviously, through surveys that we provide guests. We've actually implemented a program called Revenate about 4 years ago, and that's an online web trawler. So people don't have to reach out to us. They will just post their comments about Outrigger, and we're constantly monitoring those. So we're doing guest research literally every day. I think over the last 4 to 5 years, you know, we found that people do want more experiences. They want to understand the local culture. They want to interact with the local culture. And the good news for us is that's core to who we are. And so we really allow our hosts to interact with the guests. We don't prescribe a written script for them. We don't provide, you know, if you will, a cookie cutter model. We allow them to be themselves. We want them to celebrate the local culture, exceed the guests' expectations. And that's something that's become quite important for us. I think in the last 2 years, we've noticed a trend towards guests wanting to get more involved in the community. And so in places like Fiji, for instance, we have programs now where guests will leave the property, go to the local village, interact, and specifically right now we're in a program building a school in the local community, and the guests that actually come stay at the Outrigger Fiji Resort are part of the team actually building that school, and we're going to dedicate that school actually at the end of November.
You mentioned the Outrigger way. So how do you say it again?
Kianova'a.
Kianova'a. Okay. What is it, and how does Outrigger still abide by this way of life?
Yeah, the impetus for Outrigger way it was about 25 years ago. There was a noted professor of Hawaiian culture, Dr. George Kanahele. Outrigger at the time felt it was important to not only celebrate, but sort of reestablish its roots in Hawaiian culture. And so Dr. Kanahele worked with not just the executive team, he worked with a whole range of different stakeholders from the company, and actually people at the front desk, bellmen, and wanted to establish what does this mean to Outrigger? What is the Outrigger way about? And that's where that model of host, guest, with a strong sense of place and a series of values about how we wanted to treat each other and how we wanted to treat the place was established. And then over the last 22 years or so, that model has now been rolled out to 8 different territories around the world. So I think the core essence is about taking care of the place, right? And so we're blessed to you know, operate in some of the most spectacular places in the world, but we have a commitment to the environment. We have a commitment to the place itself. We want to educate guests about what makes the place special so that they actually understand, in some cases, how sacred these places are. And then we encourage our hosts to interact with each other as well as the guests. So the model, the framework, is really built on trying to take advantage of the work that Dr. George Kanahele did and to treat our hosts, to take care of the place, and to take care of the guests.
Looking at your rates and a couple of your taglines and slogans, why do you emphasize on moderately priced accommodation? I mean, you know, because you could slap a major price tag on your rooms, and if you wanted to, and people would still pay, right? As far as branding is concerned, wouldn't it elevate the group even more?
Well, we do want to make, I'd say, luxury travel affordable. That's the legacy of the company. But we also want to be competitive. So as we invest more in service standards, our hospitality standards, the product itself, you know, we will actually be taking advantage of some opportunities to raise our profile. So as an example, in the Maldives, one of the highest luxury markets, you know, in the world. You know, we're positioned right along Four Seasons, right along Park Hyatt. So that's the neighborhood that we like to play in, and we believe we can. But we also want to respect our roots. And so you'll see over time Outrigger Resorts moving up into a higher rate class, upper upscale positioning into luxury positioning, but also providing accommodations with our Ohana brand, which is an off-beach sort of mid-class brand. And then we also franchise a range of brands from Hilton, IHG, Best Western. So we're trying to provide the appropriate accommodations, the appropriate service levels with the appropriate price point.
Who would you say are your competitors at the moment?
So in Waikiki, our core competitors would be Starwood, Marriott, Hilton. So we are going up against the biggest brands and consistently around the world. Same in Fiji, I would say. Maldives, we're actually competing with One and Only, with Six Senses, with Four Seasons. Again, Park Hyatt is some examples. And then Mauritius, again. So these are aspirational destinations. Guests have very high expectations, long length of stay. They are making the vacation of a lifetime, big investments, and so we have to respond accordingly.
Right, but when you look at the stiff competition, how would you look at that? Like is a lot of competition a sign of a healthy market, or would you rather be king and not have any competition?
You should never be afraid of competition. We just were in a panel discussing the disruptors in the industry. Airbnb is an example, and alternative accommodations. And so the good news for us is I think the traditional hotel model is under some pressure, and Outrigger has not been traditional for many years. So we like to think of ourselves as somewhat alternative anyhow, and we bring that local, authentic experience, something that Airbnb prides itself on delivering now. We've been doing that for many, many years. So we're going to continue to do that. We welcome the competition. I love the fact that more people can travel now. They can travel affordably and they have more options. And that's something I think that's just good for the industry overall.
All this talk of hotels and holidays and Hawaii really makes me want to book a ticket. Enterprise and Sean D and Outrigger Hotels and Resorts will be back in a bit. Kia no va'a on BFM 89.9.
Business for Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
Hello, you're still listening to Enterprise. I'm Arvind Viraj, and my guest today is Sean D, the Chief Marketing Officer of Outrigger Enterprises Group. We're just having a chat about the history of the chain of resorts and the Outrigger brand itself and the challenges of constantly having to change and keeping up with the changing travel trends. Okay, speaking about competition, Airbnb is serious competition for hotels all over the world, and suddenly they're disruptors. And Airbnb promotes a more cozy, homely aesthetic because it is someone's home, I guess, but still. So when it comes to these aesthetics, there's a part of your, you know, it becomes a part of your brand image. But people's taste in decoration and aesthetics change with every generation. So right now, it's the hipster era. You know, people want places that look rustic, that look DIY, slightly shabby, half-done, industrial, whatever they want, you know, you want to call it. But how does that impact your own sense of brand, and does Outrigger change accordingly to implement some of that in the hotels, or do you stick to your style so that when people come to Outrigger, they experience the Outrigger sense of aesthetic?
Well, again, the good news for us is, unlike some of our competitors, we're not a cookie cutter, you know, and so while the logo may be the same, the experience you're going to see and feel at an Outrigger in Waikiki is very different than what you would get in the Maldives versus what you would get in Mauritius. And so we pride ourselves on that. I think one of the advantages we have over something like alternative accommodations is we have 200 to 300 hosts at our property 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to do whatever you need. So if that is learn how to cook a Thai meal, learn how to make a lei in Hawaii, learn to surf in Mauritius, learn to snorkel in Fiji, those are things that we have skilled, experienced hosts every day, every hour, to be able to do. So we have an advantage of scale, but at the same time, we're small enough to be nimble and not try to take the same experience to all parts of the world.
Okay, this is a more personal question, but what are the things that make a good hotel? Like, what's the checklist that you have in your mind that if, you know, like you went to a hotel and it checked off all of these things, it would make a good hotel to you?
Well, that's what a great question. I think it really depends on the expectations of the guest. Again, because we're in premier beachfront locations, and we believe in the local culture model, we have to execute against those standards. So the location is obviously spectacular. The sense of arrival for us, we think, is critical. Most of our travelers have come long distances, typically one plane, if not more. Typically a boat has taken them to where they are. So when they arrive at an Outrigger, they're typically tired. They typically have had a long journey. We want to give them a wow. We want to give them a bula, as we say in Fiji, to really surprise and delight them. And then surprise them during the entire length of the stay. And so, you know, some guests have some expectations that may be higher than others. So our ability to read, personalize is a big part of the Outrigger approach. How do you personalize the experience? So again, it's not the same for all the guests. We're seeing more multi-generational guests stay with us, and so they have a very different need than a honeymoon couple does. So personalization, I think, during the stay is critical. We talk about what happens during your stay, signature experiences, local cultural experiences that happen during the 4 to 7 days that you're typically at an Outrigger. And then upon departure, something that's memorable. So we have a farewell amenity that's unique and customized to each of the local cultures. And then after you've left, we'd like to keep following up with you, hear how we did, continue to improve, and hopefully welcome you back to either that property or one of the other Outrigger resorts in the near future.
And what's your number one turnoff for a hotel? Like something that makes you look at something and go, no, never again?
Well, you know, it's a hard business, right? And it's a business that consumers, including myself, you know, are tough graders, right? We give really challenging marks to ourselves and to our competitors. I do think not recognizing guests that are loyal, guests that have stayed with you before, not just being able to provide a simple welcome back, to me is probably one of the bigger challenges that we have in the industry, and we're working hard to make sure that doesn't happen at Outrigger.
Nice. Let's talk about strengths and weaknesses. What is your biggest strength, and what's your biggest weakness, and how are you fixing and or leveraging on both?
I think our strength is rooted in our brand, in our positioning. You know, I firmly believe we are the best hospitality brand at executing against local cultural experiences on a consistent basis, and our hosts are proud to be able to do that on a consistent basis. I think the challenge we have, it's a hyper-competitive hospitality industry. Margins are getting slimmer every day. It's a very capital-intensive industry as well. The people costs, utility costs, et cetera, are being outstripped by the margins that we make. So long-term sustainability, managing distribution partners who actually make higher margins on the business than we do, even though we're the ones taking all the risk and have put all the capital in, I think it's just an ongoing challenge for operators like ourselves. We have to be more disciplined, I think, on that, and over time create a little bit more fair ecosystem where we benefit maybe a little bit better than our distribution partners.
Okay. What serves as inspiration for you, like for Outrigger as a brand itself? Like, where do you draw inspiration from? As far as marketing and branding is concerned, like, can you name a company or even another group of hotels that you think has nailed the game and that you'd like to draw inspiration from?
Yeah, no, I'm you know, as a long-term chief marketing officer, I try to find inspiration in all different categories. So I think of iconic brands that are constantly looking to raise the bar. A brand like Virgin, you know, comes to mind, and Virgin is in so many different categories, but it generally sticks to, I think, a pattern of innovation, a pattern of guest focus, continues to try to surprise its customers in every business that it's in, and so it's a global brand that thinks very local, and so I think that's a good brand for us to learn from.
Outrigger has announced a China Ready program for the group. So what is that? Like, what is that all about?
So the Guibin program is our China Ready program, and it stands for Very Distinguished Guest. Frankly, it's a natural extension of the Kanava'a program that we talked about earlier. So recognizing the rising demographic coming out of mainland China, today between 8 and 50% of our visitors to Asia Pacific, depending on the property, are coming from mainland China. So it's a very significant, obviously, and growing part of our customer base today. So we spent about 2 years in development. There's three core components of Guibin. One is providing relevant products to our Chinese guests, so things that they would expect when they come to a property. Service obviously is critical for that, and again, that comes down to understanding the needs, but also being able to communicate in Mandarin to these guests. And we're piloting in four, we've actually now rolled out in four properties, our two Thai properties in Mauritius, as well as in the Maldives, and then a relentless focus on training. And so we work with specific consultants for the past 12 years or 12 months on a training initiative so that we're ready to accept the special needs, the special considerations of the Chinese guest at these four properties. And over time, we'll be expanding that program to Hawaii, to Guam, and some of the other destinations that we're operating. So we're excited. It's a big commitment. It's a commitment for the future. It's something that recognizes the changing demographics of the hospitality industry, especially in Asia.
Challenges. So what kinds of hurdles are you facing at the moment, and how are you planning on overcoming them?
Well, I think one of the themes here in Singapore for web and travel and for ITB overall is distribution, the changing landscape of distribution, technology, basically the competition for consumers. I mean, I think the latest studies I've read is before there's a direct booking made, a consumer will visit 34 different websites to look at options. And some of those websites, you know, obviously are in our control. Some of the search that's done is influenced by us, but a lot of it's organic. A lot of it's coming from social media as well. So how do you create and maintain a consistent brand presence before a consumer's actually made a choice is a major challenge for the industry. And frankly, it's just getting more expensive every year when the rest of the costs of running a hospitality enterprise also are rising. So it's a dilemma for us, but it just means we have to get smarter, more innovative. We like to think we need to be quicker than our competition, and with our size, we think we can.
Speaking about social media, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? Because people normally leave complaints more, what's the word for it, passionately than they would a good review. So does something like that, is it unfair? You know, does it sort of affect the reputation of a brand or a place?
No, it's probably one of our, it's like truth serum, right? It tells us it's you can't sugarcoat it. It's coming directly from the guest. And so again, every day we use a tool like Revenate to see how we're doing. And that's, again, not just guests that are communicating to us directly. They're communicating on social media to the rest of the public. And it's our opportunity to hear what they're saying. Recovery is important. If there's an issue that we need to fix it quickly, address it. And oftentimes customer recovery creates the most loyal guests that you can have. So we're big believers in social media. We have a very active program at the property level. So all 37 properties have an active social media director. And then we also at a corporate and brand level provide the same sort of resources. So part of it's about listening and monitoring. And then we also use social media as an outbound tool, using tools like Facebook Live, Facebook Video as a way to show off our beautiful destinations. The good news about Outrigger is we're only in fantastic places, so easy to show them off.
Okay, so touching on this a bit, KSL acquired Outrigger in December 2016, so that's a little more than a year now. It's been 69 years, and it's 69 years, and it's no longer a family-run business, right? What are the implications of something like that? Like, what's the influence that KSL has on the brand as a whole?
No, they're big believers in the company. They're big believers in the brand. It's a private equity firm that's been in the hospitality space for 30 years. It's all they do. And so they're going to put more resources behind the people, behind the product, and hopefully upgrade the positioning, some of the things we talked about earlier. That's a big emphasis for them. They're investing in technology, the training of our people, their desire to see the Outrigger way continue, but to raise the standards of excellence, effectively go from good to great is one of the mottos that they've got.
Right. Expansion. What does the future hold for Outrigger, and what do you have like coming up this year? What's new?
So over the last few years, we've expanded our source market. So predominantly, the company had a strong North America following, but also relatively good strength in Japan and in Australia. So those markets are pretty critical. But now that we've expanded to Mauritius, the Maldives, and Thailand, we have a large number of guests coming from Russia, coming from Korea, and now coming from China as well. So we've expanded our source market base pretty significantly. We still want to stay in our strength, which is tropical beach resort destinations. Thankfully, there's many of those around the world. Indian Ocean, destinations like the Seychelles, the Philippines, Australia, where Outrigger had a very strong presence for many years, and also North America. Even though we're in Hawaii, we've never been on the mainland in the United States. Mexico is a fantastic market, fits the criteria for us as well. And then we're also bullish about Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Malaysia potentially down the road as well.
If you're thinking of heading down to Hawaii for that dream holiday, you should definitely check out Outrigger.com. Just looking at these pictures makes me want to spend a day on the beach. Maybe Friday, when Friday comes around. Anyway, stick around because Resource Center is up at 11 o'clock. But before that, some music. This has been Enterprise with Arvind Yuvaraj and my guest Sean D, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.